Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord.
The next reading is from James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich you are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you very much. And I just pray for Ian now. Lord, we just thank you for the words that you've put on Ian's heart. Open our eyes and our heart to hear those words. And may you fill Ian with your Spirit now to transform our lives through his words that you've given him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Leon and Audrey, for those readings. Thank you, Mark, for choosing the songs as well, which fit very nicely. Some of you were here last week, and Helen was speaking to us, and as she said in our combined service last week, James, in this letter, is quite straight-talking and very practical with it. So today I want to take what James is saying in the letter about favoritism, discrimination, or as management courses call it, unconscious bias. Because I think there are two things that society today hates big time. One of them is hypocrisy, and the other is discrimination. Hypocrisy meaning preaching and advertising one way of behaving, but underneath doing the opposite, no integrity at all. You can discover that if you ask my wife how I am at home, you'll actually learn the truth. You know, is he really like he appears to be or says he is or whatever. So hypocrisy is a bad thing, isn't it? People don't like it. Somebody is not, doesn't have integrity or whatever. But then there's also discrimination. In other words, favoring one person over another. Not being fair. Not giving people equal chances in life, equal opportunities for the haves and the have-nots. And the Bible, when we read our Bible, it's full of examples of favoritism at work. In the beginning, there was Cain and Abel, wasn't there? The sons of Adam and Eve. And God favored Abel and his offering. And Cain was angry and murdered his brother and sinned. Now, God is allowed to choose favorites. He's sovereign. It's his right as the creator, isn't he? But mankind, we should not prefer one person above another. We should treat everybody equally under God. As Joshua said to us, we are all made in the image of God. So it's not fair, is it, for one person to be discriminated against, for another person to be preferred. And yet, when you read Genesis, for example, you read that Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. But because Isaac was the son of promise, Ishmael was the son of the slave woman, Abraham showed favoritism towards Isaac, and Ishmael was thrown out into the wilderness. Isaac, he had two boys, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the older one, but Isaac showed favoritism to the younger one, Jacob. Jacob married two women, Leah and Rachel, but he loved Rachel, even though he was married to her second, and so he showed favoritism towards her, discriminated in her favor. They had loads of children, but Joseph was the one who got the coat of many colors, the Technicolor dream coat, if you like. And his brothers resented it, didn't they? Joseph had two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Joseph favored Ephraim over his older brother. So favoritism seemed to be almost built in to the patriarchs, the Old Testament story, and perhaps even passed down from one generation to another. Did they learn that bad behavior from one generation to another? I don't know. Sometimes it seems to be God's choice in Genesis, that it's God who's choosing the younger one. Sometimes it seems to be just the preference of the patriarch, the dad, the head of the house. British history too, we're riddled with favoritism, aren't we? If you go to one of those stately homes, Jane and I went to Audley End recently. If you go and look in the chapel there, or another one, St. Stephen's Chapel at Bures, lovely, in the barn at Bures there, you'll often find, if you go upstairs, you'll find a well-furnished and heated upper room for the noble family with cushions and everything and a nice view down towards the front of the church. But downstairs, you'll find hard benches for the servants, or perhaps some of them even had to stand. Britain is famous for its class system, isn't it? For our preferences for the nobility over the poor and the working class. We remain suspicious, don't we, if the chairman's son joins the company and starts working there. Won't he get privileged treatment? Paralympics. Anybody been watching the Paralympics? They're absolutely great to watch, actually, but trying to define the categories, trying to make sure that disabled athletes compete against their equals, it's a nightmare. It's not easy at all being fair. People say it's not fair. You've privileged one person over another. So who are my equals? Who must I not discriminate against? Well, the Equality Act 2010 specifies 9 protected characteristics, such as age, race, sex, religion, and so on. And it's against the law to discriminate against someone because of those protected characteristics. Doesn't quite mean that everybody is a winner. You can still test people for skills, experience, and performance, but you have to be fair. You can't just rule out all the women. You can't just only employ Christians unless you can prove that the job requires this. Jews and Gentiles, for thousands of years, Jews have been set against Gentiles, non-Jews. One of today's alternative readings is about the Syrophoenician woman. She was a Gentile. She came to Jesus, she begged Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus at first refused, saying, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she replied that even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And for that humility and for that clever answer, Jesus granted her request and healed her daughter. The Hebrew for Gentiles is Hagoyim, in other words, literally the nations in Hebrew. In Yiddish, a goy means a Gentile, a non-Jew. You can't marry one of those. That's marrying out of the race and the faith and so on. So anti-Semitism has often been a problem. Today, if a manager in business is accused of anti-Semitism or some other discrimination, they're sent off on a course about unconscious bias. And on the course, experts teach about the ways we discriminate unconsciously without even being aware of it. Why is it that we like this person and we dislike that person? Well, to be honest, it's human. It's natural. We all do this from day to day, don't we? But if we're trying to create a level playing field, whether it's for exams or qualifications or job interviews, then we need to try and take our preferences out of the equation. And it's not easy to do that. Inequality in Britain today, the gap between rich and poor, is getting bigger. It's widening. One of my favorite all-time books is called The Spirit Level, and it's written by statisticians, and they prove with statistics time and again that inequality is not just a problem for the poor, it's a problem for everybody. Everybody in society suffers when you get a big gap between rich and poor, because we become a suspicious nation, unhappy with each other, and unhealthy. That last song that we just sang, "O Lord, dark powers are poised to flood our streets with hate and fear. We must awaken." And I think particularly when the gap between rich and poor grows, that happens, doesn't it? Favoritism and discrimination grow tall in the soil of inequality. Church of England today is no longer in a privileged position in society. We're in a bit of a financial crisis, struggling to pay the bills very often. And the church continues to be rocked by reports of abuse and racism. The clergy and the church are no longer respected or well off in our society. We have what I heard the other day was called a credibility overdraft. I like that phrase. We have a credibility overdraft. We're broken, humbled, and vulnerable. But actually, that's not a bad place to start from, is it, as Christians? We can be more aware of our need for God, and maybe we can reach out more easily to the poor and the downtrodden in society. Interestingly, wealth is not one of the 9 protected characteristics in the Equality Act. It would be quite difficult, after all, to remove all the problems of poverty. But we do have the NHS, we do have state education, we do have the welfare state, we do have charities like food banks and other similar ones. So all these are a great help in relieving the effects of poverty. 40 years ago, David Shepherd, who was an England cricketer and also Bishop of Liverpool, he wrote a book called Bias to the Poor. And the book describes how God in Scripture cares for those at the bottom of the pile. James, in our reading that we heard just now, says, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor," says James. He's very straight in accusing us of wrongdoing. Psalm 146, "Don't put your trust in princes. They can't save. Put your trust in God." Christ in the Gospels has a bias to the poor because God does, and so we should too. James very clearly shows us one of the mission priorities of the Church of Jesus Christ. Some churches advertise themselves as inclusive church. And by that, they mean that the doors are wide open, everybody is welcomed, whoever they are, everyone's included. Even, dare I say it, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and so on. John Arnott, a preacher from Toronto, says, "God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are." I like that balance. And so we should be welcoming and accepting and inclusive, but also challenging everybody to become Christians, to follow Christ, and to become more Christ-like. So if, for example, you are a gossip, or a thief, or an adulterer, or a bigot, then the church should encourage and help you to put away sin from your life and bring into your life the Spirit of God to become more like Jesus. This is our aim as Christians. And it's not just a sort of best average performance. James says, if we break one command, then we've broken the whole law. It's like a chain. If you break one link, then the chain can't hold anything any longer. So James, the half-brother of Jesus, in his rather frank way, he points us the way to grow as disciples. And one of the key issues is to put away favoritism and discrimination. Just to close, today we're remembering Mother Teresa of Calcutta because she died on this day in 1997. And one of her prayers was this: "Teach me, Lord, what you require of me with regard to the poor and needy of this world. Fill my heart with your compassion and keep me steadfast in following Jesus. Give me your gift of happiness in all I do, that your life in me may be attractive to those I meet. Amen."